Kane is in the building.
Guys, I just got some new shirts from Liberty Shirt Co. And I gotta tell you, these shirts are amazing. They stretch like workout clothes, they're breathable, and super soft. I love these shirts. And you could get your own Freedom Flex Performance shirts by going to www.libertyshirtco.com. And when you use the promo code 3PEAT at checkout, you will save 10% on your order. That's www.libertyshirtco.com and promo code 3PEAT.
Good evening and welcome back to another episode of the 3-Pete Podcast, episode 5 of season 5, Super Bowl edition. Very excited about this one. We got a great game coming up this Sunday that we're going to dive deep into. But first, today concluded the NBA trade deadline. And oh boy, you guys know what trade we're going to be talking about. But first, as always, we'll make those introductions. I'm your host this week, Alex Castle. And as always, I have the pleasure of being joined by
the one and only Stephen Benazzo
and Josh Fromowitz.
And of course, as always, we have the man of many hats, TJ Hummel, who will be joining us later when we talk some football. And who knows, maybe we throw in some hockey later. One of the man of many hats, special hats. So, the NBA trade deadline, man, oh man, was today crazy. Actually, only one trade was really crazy. It was kind of overwhelming, but the trade took over all of the other news. And that's the trade that I think a lot of people were expecting to happen for many reasons. James Harden, Ben Simmons, they did a little swap. James Harden will now be going to Philly with Paul Millsap and two first rounders, and coming to Brooklyn, Ben Simmons, Andre Drummond, Seth Curry, and two first rounders. This was a trade that has been talked about for a couple of days. Both sides were going back and forth. A lot of names were being thrown around, but it finally happened. Philly has finally got rid of the virus, however you want to say it, the issue that was being caused. And now they're bringing in Harden, who in some ways could be another diva like Ben Simmons. But overall, I think both sides can benefit from this in the end. I think that it'll help them as we approach the postseason. But I'm not the guy who's going to be diving deep into this. We're going to bring in Josh, the big Nets fan. Josh, first of all, I want to say that I'm glad your blood pressure has finally gone down. I know it's been at some
days. It took a few days to get back to normal.
But before you dive into, you know, what you think about this trade, I was kind of thinking about this before we started the show, and I'm just curious to see what you think. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, Harden only spent one season with the team, right? Spent one season with the team, you know, gave up a lot of young prospects to get him, never really got to experience the big three in the playoffs. You know, I think I saw a stat that they only played 16 games together. Do you regret that the trade even happened?
I mean, the obvious answer is yes, because we gave away the future of the team and Jared Allen, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, and four firsts. Yes, that's the obvious answer, because we see what LeVert, we see what Allen are doing right now. Spencer Dinwiddie's struggling, but so, I mean, the obvious is yes. But I do think that it was worth it trading for Harden, and because it definitely made the Nets more of a popular team than they were before. Everyone was talking about the Nets for the good or for the bad, but the attention was always there 24/7, whether you liked it or not. Everyone was talking about the Nets in some way, shape, or form. Kevin Durant is still there. He's playing when he's healthy, is an MVP level. Kyrie Irving, when he's playing, great. James Harden last year, all through the up until the playoffs, great. And then he got hurt, and it didn't seem like he ever fully recovered from his injury. This year, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a mix of his injury. I don't know if it was him just not caring and not trying like it was last year in Houston. But it was definitely very frustrating to see, because I wanted Harden long term, because I wanted the big three to end their careers in Brooklyn. And I thought that was going to be a great thing for the three of them. But I know basketball. I'm no idiot. I know Harden is horrible on defense. Anyone who watches basketball, anyone who follows basketball knows Harden is probably one of the worst defenders in the league. And especially with the Nets, who like switching on every single play, there's no shock why the Nets rank, I think, 25th in the league in defense, because Harden will always be switched on to the person who has the ball and allow an easy layup, because he has no effort on defense. He has no effort getting back on fast breaks if he doesn't turn the ball over. And if he does, he gives up an easy take foul, allowing either a team to shoot free throws or have a sideline out of bounds play. It really is. It was frustrating towards the end, and I'm glad we made the move to get Ben Simmons, as painful as that is to say, because I have been criticizing Ben Simmons' game for the longest time. I do think he fits in Brooklyn because of his defensive ability. The Nets need a defensive identity, which they had in the beginning of the year. And I think partially our defensive effort has lacked recently is because of Kevin Durant's injury. Kevin Durant makes a huge difference, but they don't have that true anchor like you see the Bucks have in Giannis or Rudy Gobert in Utah, Jaren Jackson, Memphis. These guys are defensive beasts. Philly has multiple, Thybul and Joel Embiid. Danny Green's no slouch on defense either, but the Nets really don't have that. So getting Ben Simmons, who has been a all-defensive player before, really helps solidify that defense. But I'm really excited about the other pieces that we get in the trade, getting Seth Curry and Andre Drummond. Curry, I mean, it's a given just by the last name. Steph's brother, he is no scrub. He is a sniper from the three, but he's also a facilitator. He's not a defensive stud, but he's basically a Patty Mills 2.0. And the fact that we have both of them now is huge, especially with Joe Harris's injury for possibly the rest of the year. And Andre Drummond, the Nets had no true big who could be this physical guy to match up against guys like Embiid and Bam Adebayo that we'll see down the road. So overall, it is sad to lose Harden, because he's one of the best players in the league when healthy. But for what we got, I really like the return. And I think Brooklyn ultimately won the trade because of it.
You know, I was shocked that the Sixers traded Drummond, because to me, with how injury prone Embiid is, Drummond was providing them depth at center. But I think it's great for Brooklyn. Like you said, he can match up with a lot of these other big centers in the East. He can mentor Claxton. I think there's a lot of benefits with bringing a guy like Drummond in. And you might disagree with this, but it could be good for Ben Simmons to have a younger coach with Steve Nash. Maybe the problem was that Doc Rivers didn't want to put up with Ben Simmons because he was a young guy. He was acting like a diva. Maybe Steve Nash can relate a little more, be more sympathetic. I'm not sure what it is, but overall, I think in the end, Brooklyn will benefit from this more. Joel Embiid is a very big personality, and I'm not sure how long that's going to work with Harden.
And I know Steve also wants to jump in, so I just want to say one more thing. Going back to Brooklyn, because I could go on and on about Philly side, but I'm sure Steve will talk a little bit about that. But I really like what you said about the change of scenery for Ben Simmons. We've seen Andrew Wiggins is a good example. Everyone labeled him as a bust because of how his fit was in Minnesota, how it was in Cleveland. Well, he got traded from Cleveland, but Minnesota just didn't work out. He was this lazy guy who didn't try, but he goes to Golden State and now he's an all-star starter. I'm not saying Ben Simmons is going to be that, but the change of scenery is could definitely help and benefit him. He's no scrub on defense. He's one of the best, and people know that. He's a 6'11 point guard, insane ball handling skills, passing skills. What Philly also lacked was floor spacing, and they're doing a great job this year, no doubt. But you saw last year, even Joel Embiid didn't really play that well. Seth Curry really didn't turn it up. They didn't have other shooters. Danny Green was relied on to be a shooter, and he was bricking every shot he got. So you pair Ben Simmons now with the shooters he has in Patty Mills, Seth Curry, Joe Harris, if he comes back. Oh, by the way, they still have Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. I think it's definitely a better scenario for him now.
Absolutely. And I'm curious to see what our other wonderful co-host, Mr. Bonazzo, what's your take on this? Good, bad? You're a Chicago fan, but still, these are two teams that are big threats for your Bulls come the playoff time. So what do you think?
I think both teams, I think the Nets were the winners of this trade. I do believe that. Obviously, if you get a talent like James Harden, you know, you consider it a win. The amount that the Nets got back for Harden, which reports were coming out the past couple nights and days that he was trying to do everything in his power to get out of Brooklyn without causing a scene. You know, he didn't want to cause a scene where people would hate him and, you know, cause an even bigger story than him getting traded. So the Nets should have had no leverage here, or not too much leverage, but they still managed to get all that in return. Seth Curry is going to be a solid piece for them. He can be like kind of like another scorer like Caris LeVert was for them, that they gave up to get James Harden. So I think he'll be a good piece. I love Andre Drummond coming over, finally getting that big man, which they've missed since moving Jared Allen. And
fun fact, I was just talking to TJ about this. In a sense, this is like a homecoming for Andre Drummond, because he, I believe, is from TJ's hometown of Middletown, Connecticut. So he's coming back home in a sense. Connecticut doesn't have a basketball team, as you boys know.
UConn.
But yeah, UConn. He's a UConn Husky.
Yeah.
And now he's playing in New York. So this is definitely, I'm sure his family is very excited about that.
Oh, yeah. Now he's definitely going to be closer to home. And I mean, listen, I'm not being biased because Andre Drummond, you know, is a local guy, played at UConn. I'm a big UConn guy. I just went to UConn game the other night for anyone who's cares or was wondering. But just, it was a fun game. They beat Marquette, big top 25 matchup, whatever. So I think that was a great addition. So if you look at it, when they traded for Harden, they gave up Jared Allen, you know, a really solid up-and-coming big man. They traded Caris LeVert, who was, you know, one of their go-to scorers, a guy who can really, you know, who can shoot and score. And then, you know, then they had Harden, but they were missing a lot of those pieces. Now you get some of those pieces back, and they may be a little differently and play differently and kind of play different positions or whatever, but you're still kind of getting some of those pieces where I think where the Nets were playing their best basketball. Now they got it back. And I really think Andre Drummond is going to be beast there. I think Curry will do pretty solid. I don't know if he'll see as many minutes as he did in Philly, because he was technically starting, but you know, it's up to Steve Nash. And listen, this might be somewhat of a bold take, but I think Ben Simmons' career is going to kind of resurge a little bit, because I think this fit with the Nets is going to be perfect for him. Because in Philly, like, he wasn't looking to score a lot, because he really only had the inside game. He could not shoot. I don't know why he couldn't. He can work on it, whatever. But he just could not shoot. So he's limited. But this is great because now Brooklyn is filled with scores. Kyrie Irving wants to shoot. Kevin Durant wants to shoot. Seth Curry, if he's ever playing with him, likes to shoot. Patty Mills likes to shoot. When Joe Harris is healthy, loves to shoot. Who?
Cam Thomas
likes to shoot. Like, a lot of these guys like to shoot and score.
So I just want to add, because it'll help your point go on even more so. Do you think now it's safe to say that there's less pressure on Ben Simmons in Brooklyn?
Oh, for sure. And plus, now he's not the main guy. You know, in Philly, he was their number one draft pick. You know, he was the first one to really, like, because they had a number of those number one picks where it didn't work out, or, you know, Embiid, like, he was hurt for the first couple of years. And then he kind of, you know, started off slow. And then he finally became a star. Fultz didn't turn into what they thought he would be. So Simmons was that first guy. Like, yeah, he missed his rookie year. But then, boom, when he was his first year playing in the league, like, he was like, wow, you know, looks like he's going to be their future star. And for a while there, it looked like that. So I think now he's going to be able to play more freely. You know, I think he's going to be able to move the ball and control the ball a little bit. I know Kyrie's still going to want to control the ball, but when Kyrie's can't play, then... Well,
Kyrie accepted to be the shooting guard role when James Harden came over, and that worked perfectly. So we might be seeing more of that. Kyrie, because he likes to score, Ben Simmons likes to facilitate.
Yeah.
Let's see a lineup of Ben Simmons at the one and Kyrie at the two, and then Kevin Durant at the three or four, whatever. And Ben Simmons does most of the ball handling. Kyrie Irving is just such a good scorer that he doesn't need to dribble to be able to get his shots up.
And now, and with that too, now the Nets got some size back. You know, they were lacking in size a little bit, so now you get some size back. So I really do like this trade for the Nets a lot. And you get two first rounders too. Like, a lot of people are missing that. And even if Philly's, like, you know, going somewhat far, like, those are still two first round picks that you can either package for another player, or you just have two first round draft picks. And, you know, who knows? You can turn, they could be the next star. You don't know. For Philly's sake, listen, again, like, you want a talent like Harden, but to give up, I mean, no, their key thing was keeping Tyrese Maxey, and that was good that they didn't give him up because he's really solid, not only in this league, but for them. So I think they're going to be a good 1-2 punch, Maxey. I'm thinking Maxey will probably start at the one and Harden back at the two. And then, you know, you have Embiid, was it Thibault, right? Thibault. And then Tobias, obviously. So that's a good starting five. I will say that. And, you know, the Sixers are not going to be taken for a joke. I think the Nets now, and I think both teams, you know, there was a lot of kind of Castle, what you were alluding to when you were introducing this. You know, the Sixers had the virus, like you were saying it, you know, with Ben Simmons, and then the Nets, like the big three wasn't working out. They were barely playing together, this, that, Kyrie and Harden, kind of whatever. Now everything's off the table because both guys are gone. Both have a new change of scenery, a fresh page. So now it'll be interesting to see, you know, if Simmons can't turn around in Brooklyn, maybe he really just lost his game. And maybe for whatever reason, like, I don't know. And then if Harden struggles with the Sixers, maybe he just needs to be in a team like Houston, you know, not Houston now, but like, where it was just him, and then he had other guys where really he just commanded the show. So that's where it's going to be interesting to see. But I mean, it was for a while there, it seemed like it was going to happen, and then maybe not, or at least it would wait until the offseason, but it did happen. It wasn't even a Woj bomb. It was a, first reported it? It was
Jams.
Yeah. So he got the inside info before Woj, which is kind of, you know, especially in the biggest day like this. So good for him. But yeah. Big trade, and there's a few more too that, you know, were all these trades were kind of unreal, but this one made sense. And I think both teams will benefit from it.
Absolutely. And we get the pleasure of watching them play each other. I think it's the middle of next month. These guys match up. I'm looking forward to that game a lot.
I think it's March 10th was the date.
March 10th. So exactly 1 month. So one month from now, get your popcorn. It's going to be a very interesting game. But you mentioned Stevie. There were some other trades that did occur prior to the deadline, and I definitely think we should talk about those. One of the trades that I want to talk about was that four teams with the Clippers, the Trailblazers. I can't remember the two other teams.
Bucks and the Pistons.
Portland sent Norman Powell and Robert Covington to
That's a different trade. That's a different trade.
Okay, so I want to talk about that trade with Portland.
That wasn't today though. That was a few days ago though.
Right. But we could get into that other four team trade, but I want to talk about this trade first because they gave up the last two guys that could really, I mean, I don't think Lillard is expected to return this season, but I don't know what the status is on him, but regardless, these were two solid guys. I mean, Covington is not, you know, he's not someone that's going to be contributing majorly, but he's a solid guy to have. And I like Norman Powell a lot. So getting rid of these two guys and sending them to the Clippers, I'm very happy to see that the Clippers get them. I think they're going to be good contributions. But what do you guys think Portland is doing? I mean, are they just in a full desperate rebuild mode for Lillard? Are they trying to clear as much cap to get a big star to pair with him? I mean, I don't know who's going to be available in free agency. I mean, I think Harden will be one of the names, but depending on the success that he has in Philly, who knows what's going to happen with him. So Stevie, I want to start off with you. What do you think is behind all these moves that Portland's making? I mean, we do know that they have a plan to build around Damian, but what do you think those plans include?
So I think they're definitely blown it up to kind of rebuild. I don't think they want to rebuild to where they are now picking number one in the draft. But I do think they're rebuilding because, you know, obviously Dame is still their priority and building around him. But I think maybe in the offseason, they might think about moving him. So, you know, I think they're starting to get an early jump and then really, because Dame is going to be the toughest decision. What do you do with him? Do you get rid of him? You know, because he's been your star, your franchise player now for a long time. And I think, you know, everyone loved, including, you know, Dame and McCollum, they loved that duo, but they just didn't really win anything. They made it to the playoffs. They advanced a few rounds, but they never made it to the promised land, the NBA finals. They never won anything. And, you know, Dame is now what? 32. McCollum is 30. Both guys are, you know, getting some injuries here and there now. So they weren't really producing what they used to. So they're trying to gather these young assets and draft picks and clear some cap. But I really think they're going to think about Dame's future and come this offseason. You know, do we really think, you know, is he really going to be part of our future? Like, how long can we go back into being a contender? And if they feel that it's not going to be for a few more years, then you might as well move Dame. Move him to somewhere where he can help a team get to that next level, like the Knicks or, you know, Boston, for just say, like, you know, just a team like that where they have a lot of talent and they're so close, they need that one more piece, give them there, because if they're not going to be contending, why just waste him here? And, you know, even if he doesn't want out of Portland, do the guy some justice and send him somewhere where he can get a chance at a ring. But they feel that with all these young assets and they get some draft picks, a lot of money, and they can go out and get a few more stars to pair with Dame and form another great duo, then, you know, do that. And I think they're going to weigh these options come this offseason. And because obviously now that the trade deadline's passed, and I don't think they're in any position to make the playoffs this year. So, and plus, to be honest, I really think Anthony Simons, who's been taking Dame's spot, has been doing a fantastic job. He's really been playing well. So maybe they do say, well, you know, we have a pretty good backup plan as of now. Like, he may not be our long-term starter in the future, but this guy can, you know, handle it for a little bit. So who knows? But I think that's what the Trailblazers were going to have to do. And I think they will, but we're going to have to wait. So it's whatever they view internally, you know?
I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum as you, because I think regardless of how Portland might feel, I think Damian wants to stay regardless. He wants to be like a Kobe, like that Curry, where he was drafted by a team and retires a Trailblazer. I don't see him wanting to leave. Yes, he's been through the ups and the downs. And even if they may not ever get there, I think being loyal to Portland is more important to him and trying to build up than, say, he leaves and goes to the Knicks or Boston, because I think his heart, his everything is in Portland, and he doesn't have any plans to leave anytime soon.
And I think I agree with you. I think he wants to stay, but at the same time, you know, if they're like, one, if the team makes the decision, he kind of has no control, but you know, I think they might be like, hey, listen, Dame, like, you know, we're really going to blow this thing up. Like we're going to pretty much get rid of everyone. We're just going to, you know, like, we're not going to be, you know, we're going to try to get the best team possible, but realistically, like, we're not going to be what we used to be or a contender anytime soon. Like, do you want to go somewhere where you can have a chance at winning and, you know, succeeding? And he might, you know, as much as he doesn't want to leave Portland, he might want to do that, because at the end of the day, you know, Portland's always going to love him. He's done so much for that team, that city. But at the same time, you want to win. You want to get that ring. And especially for his Hall of Fame case and all that, like, winning a ring is so important to these guys in the league. So I think if he had the opportunity, you know, I don't think he's going to go out and demand a trade, but if they mutually kind of discuss that the future of this team's not looking too hot for his window, you know, if he was 26, yeah, he can wait it out. But he's already into his young to mid 30s. You know, yes, basketball players, you know, can play kind of deep. Look at LeBron. He's still dominating at what, 37? But now if he's getting some injuries and whatever, he doesn't have as much time as he once did. So I think if they mutually discuss, maybe they will part ways and go to a team that's kind of up and coming. Or again, like I was saying, it's just missing that one significant piece, like in Knicks. I think him to the Knicks would be perfect, in my opinion.
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I'm not saying it will happen, but
I think not the Knicks. I'm just saying in general. I just don't see him leaving, because, I mean, not only has he vocally said that he wants to stay in Portland for the rest of his career, but just look at what he's had to deal with in his time there. Like, look at what they've tried to build. They've had great years with CJ McCollum, who they shipped off to New Orleans, but yet he's still so supportive of the guys that are still there. He could easily have a change in attitude and be like, okay, now I wanted to leave. But no, he's supporting Anthony Simons, Josh Hart, who they just brought in, all these other guys. So it's hard to see him leaving to go somewhere else.
And I think it's tough too, because he's had some good guys that they brought in. You know, I really like Gary Trent, and then they swapped him for Norman Powell. And, you know, same thing. He just hasn't been able to get done with those guys in Portland. So, you know, he might need a change of scenery if he wants to, you know, win, because it's not his fault. But, you know, that team itself is just kind of looks like it's on the decline. And especially now that they've gotten rid of Powell, and, you know, they got rid of Trent last year. They got rid of Powell. And, you know, a lot of these other guys that they had who once was winning games for them, you know, they still have Nurkic, so he's good, but, you know, a center can only do so much. So it's interesting, and, you know, definitely a tough decision they're going to have to make in Portland, you know, relatively soon. I'm saying don't be surprised if they both mutually kind of part ways on great terms, you know, and it's going to be tough for both, but I think I wouldn't be surprised in the summer that they're going to be looking to move Dame.
It's a very tough situation, you know, because you want to respect Lillard for wanting to end his career where he started just because of how rare that is. But you also feel for the guy because he deserves a ring and he's worked very hard. So it's going to be very interesting. It could go either way. I can't lean towards a side. You guys both make compelling arguments, you know, as to him staying versus him leaving, but only time will tell. And, you know, I just thought it was crazy how Portland gets rid of those guys. They add Ingles, who's, I don't think, playing anymore this season. So it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Portland can do in these next few years, because the West is not as competitive as they used to be. So they can make a big splash, whether it's keeping Lillard and pairing him with someone else or letting him go, who knows? But I want to talk about another trade that happened with a guy that you mentioned earlier, Josh, someone that the Nets let go during the Harden trade, and that was Spencer Dinwiddie. Today, he was sent to the Mavericks, and the Wizards will be getting the unicorn himself, Kristaps Porzingis, which you got him now with Kuzma, two bigger guys who should both shoot the ball well, but, you know, with Porzingis' track record, anything can happen. So we'll start with you, Josh, former Net, had some time in Washington. I think he had, you know, he played decently, but nothing to really, you know, throw his name out there a lot. He's now going to be going to Dallas. He'll have another good young guard and Jalen Brunson. What do you think about this trade?
I mean, I love it for Dallas. They get Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. Porzingis just couldn't stay on the floor. The injuries have plagued his entire career, dating back to New York. I don't know if he's ever had a healthy season. Luka and Porzingis, there was tension between the two. And it was no surprise that Porzingis was going to get traded. It was just a matter of where. I'm shocked it was Washington, because Porzingis and Kuzma, I just don't see how they fit at all. They play the same position, and they're both starters. So that there were other teams who could have used him. Didn't expect Washington to be the one to jump out and say, I want Porzingis. Bringing in Dinwiddie, though, I really like it, because his best role is being the sixth man, coming off the bench. We saw how he was with Brooklyn, and we're going to see that now in Dallas. And I won't be surprised if I start to see Spencer Dinwiddie balling again, because he's coming off the bench. Luka's the point guard there. Jalen Brunson's the shooting guard. But you have Spencer Dinwiddie off the bench running that second unit. I really like the move for that. Yes, they lose their size in Porzingis, but they've already managed so many games that Porzingis has missed. So I think Dallas ultimately wins the trade. And you bring in Bertans from Washington, who's a sniper. So I think Dallas wins it. I really don't know what Washington's doing. They made some questionable trades today.
Yeah, I mean, my assumption now is Porzingis will play the five because they traded Harrell, but who knows? I don't know what they're doing either. I mean, I really liked the unit that they had before they made these trades. Now, I don't know. I mean, we know how competitive the East is. So who knows how much it's really going to affect them in the long run. But another big time player got moved in out of the East. Sabonis. Pacers traded him to the Kings. Definitely didn't see that one coming. And I think the Pacers got a good return out of it. Stevie, I know you're eager to jump in on this one. Let's hear it.
When I first saw that trade, I was like shocked. I knew Sabonis was a prime trade candidate, so that made sense. But when I saw it to the Kings, I was like, what? And at first I'm like, this trade is just stupid. I was texting everyone and a lot of people, everyone was kind of saying the same thing. Like, what is this trade even like? What was the point of this trade? Both teams were not doing well. They're in the bottom of their conference, kind of. I think Indiana is definitely higher in the East than the Kings are in the West. Either way, it was just weird. But then I was thinking about it. Indiana actually got a pretty good return. They got Tyrese Haliburton and I'm blanking. Who's the other guy they got from Sacramento? They got someone else too. Oh, Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield. And
well, Buddy Hield, they're gonna buy out. So
you think they are, definitely?
That's what they said.
Okay. Well, never mind. But anyways, you got Haliburton, who is this young stud guard who shoots very effectively from the three-pointer. He can move the ball. He's got some nice size. And the Kings, I mean, they have so many guards, young guards that they've drafted. I mean, they drafted De'Aaron Fox, Haliburton, now Davion Mitchell. It's like these guys just fall into their lap and they just take them. But I just couldn't believe that, you know, the Kings were the one to make the move and not more of a contender or a team on, you know, trying to fight for a playoff spot, and that the Kings, who were like 15 games under 500, said, oh yeah, we'll take it. And then to give up on, I mean, I thought the Kings loved Haliburton, you know, in the city of Sacramento and that. So I think everyone was shocked, but what a return for the Pacers. And now, you know, supposedly Miles Turner, he loved the idea of playing with Haliburton. And I think those two will really be a good duo. So I really think, and I guess the Pacers also got Tristan Thompson, who's going to be bought out too. So I don't even get why half these guys get traded when they just get bought out. But
salary dump, that's all.
Yeah, that's true. And sometimes, yeah, teams have to take on these guys just so the trade will happen. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think the Kings, Sabonis makes them any sort of contender. And now it's like, I thought De'Aaron Fox was a prime trade candidate, but it seems like they might value him. So I don't know what the Kings, I don't know how they run their organization, what their goals are. And I don't know. I didn't understand for Sacramento. Looking back at it, I think it was really good for Indiana. And I think Indiana won this one without a doubt.
You know, it's interesting. Seeing this trade, it makes me wonder what teams like the Lakers and the Knicks were doing all trade deadline. If the Knicks, who had been so vocal about saying they need a true point guard, Kemba Walker, that experiment failed. Alec Burks isn't their solution. Why didn't they jump at the idea of Tyrese Haliburton if he was clearly available? The guy who the Knicks should have drafted, and I remember saying it last year when the Knicks didn't draft him and they drafted Obi Toppin instead. But if Tyrese Haliburton was available, the Knicks have guys that they could have given up, but if they were under the assumption that De'Aaron Fox was the only guy being shipped, they could have tried harder to make an effort to go after him at least, and maybe the Knicks would have landed him, because I saw a report that said the Knicks and the Kings were close to making a deal work somehow. I don't know who would have been involved, but I saw that the Knicks were close, but clearly not close enough.
And it's interesting you say that, because I was like, I was talking to my brother and he was like, dude, like, I didn't know that Haliburton was, you know, being offered, was even available for trade. And I don't even think a lot of teams thought that, because if it was known that Haliburton was a, you know, guy that could be moved, I'm sure a lot of teams would have jumped in to make an offer. Not only because of what he's been doing, but especially because he's so young. I mean, he's a second year guy and he's still only like 20, 21.
I believe he's only 20.
You know, so he could be your point guard for the, you know, your the next 5-10 years, you know, and that's still super young. I mean, forever.
He's their franchise guy now.
Yeah.
Indiana, I think they're primed to, yes, they're in a rebuild, but they're doing it the right way.
Oh, yeah.
They got Haliburton, pair him in the backcourt with Chris Duarte, who's having a great rookie year. You keep Miles Turner, who's still very young. He's only 24, 25. And he's one of the best defenders in the league, averaging over 3 blocks a game. They got something to build on, unlike the Kings, in my opinion. I think it was just a terrible trade on their end. Yes, Sabonis is great and all. He's not someone you build around. He's a terrible defender.
I completely agree. And I think, but I agree with you the point that if, you know, a team like the Knicks or someone should have tried to dive deeper and say, well, what, you know, what's Halliburton's availability? Is he, you know, are you guys going to be willing to trade him or no? And clearly they, you know, because they moved him to Indiana. So that was the case. And I think that sometimes even if these guys don't seem like they are available for trade, you know, you got to point it and, you know, kind of be a little, you know, repetitive and keep trying to ask. And, you know, because who knows, maybe it just takes a certain amount of time or one player to be like, you know what, we will include him now, you know, for this guy. And I guess for them, the Kings, it was a bonus.
So you're telling me it took for the Kings, the Pacers, to offer Sabonis and a pick, and they get Halliburton, but the Knicks couldn't have offered Randall and even either Grimes or Quickly or just multiple picks, both all-stars last year for the first time, both very similar play styles, both young. I just think, I don't know what the Knicks were thinking, but it just definitely seems like the Knicks, the Lakers, those two big organizations have just been asleep recently. And Castle, I know you're a Knicks fan, but as a basketball fan, it's pathetic just to see, because two of the biggest franchises just doing jack shit right now.
Yeah, and even I just couldn't believe that the Kings chose to move Halliburton over Fox. If anything, you know, I would say move Fox. Fox is so young. He's so solid player.
And Fox has said he was open to being traded. And Halliburton, yeah, has been saying he wanted to be loyal. He was crying when he found out he got traded.
Yeah. And he was upset. I saw an interview, his first interview at a Pacers practice, and he did not really look happy. And he kind of didn't have much to say about the Kings because, you know, he feels like they kind of, for all that he done, and I know it wasn't much, but, you know, he's kind of like, why did I deserve to be traded? Like, what did I do that was wrong? And I guess that's just the nature of the business. And I don't know, that trade to me just did not make sense.
One of those head scratchers for sure. I am happy because I'm a big Miles Turner guy. So hopefully this allows him some more opportunities. I think, you know, Rick Carlisle is a great coach, a lot of experience. And I think, you know, now that Halliburton can play under him, that's great. So I like a lot the direction that the Pacers are going in. In terms of the Knicks, I there's not really too much I could say. You know, I still stand by the fact that James Dolan has a lot of control of what goes on. And I think because of the contract that we gave Randall, he doesn't want to give up on him. And in terms of these other guys being dealt out, Grimes, Quickly, yeah, they're young guys with talent, but to include them in a deal with, to get a guy like Fox in return, I just don't think it was enough juice. And I don't think Randall was going to be on the table, which was the biggest problem. And for the Lakers, they're a mess right now too. They really needed to move Westbrook, but no one was going to take him. It's a very
not even. I mean, as much as yeah, you need to get rid of Russ. They just need other help. Like Terrence Ross would have been a good option for them off the bench. They just lack a lot. They have a lot of height, but don't play their height because it doesn't work. But they need more scoring. Their only consistency is coming from LeBron, obviously. And Carmelo Anthony, who's they're both 37. They need other help because it's still a long season and then a long playoffs if they're going to make a run.
Yeah, they really needed to shake it up. You know, like we've said before with this Lakers team, you look at these names on paper and they're some of the biggest names in basketball within the past decade. But with age, that's just not the case anymore. And it's frustrating to see. As you said, Josh, you know, as a basketball fan, I mean, okay, the Knicks haven't done anything, you know, too promising, and God knows when, you know, when they actually did something respectable. But the Lakers, that's a primetime team you're talking about. And especially with getting LeBron and AD, but they've had a lot of downfall and they really did need to make a splash. And I really think that's going to come back to haunt them. I really do.
And I just want to add with the Bulls, I'm glad they didn't make any moves. I like the roster where it's at. And like a lot of the guys in what our GM said, Arturas Karnauskas, that again, you know, we like the team. We just are riddled with injuries right now. Wait till we get these guys back, and then, you know, we get Caruso back, a clutch guy off the bench. You know, Lonzo Ball, our starting point guard, which would then have Coby White coming off the bench with Caruso. And then you have Derek Jones, which is more depth. And he was actually a starter at one point. Pat Williams, who's been out almost the whole year. So I'm glad that we didn't get like a rental guy, or we didn't give up any draft picks for a guy who in reality we don't necessarily need. Maybe right now we need, because we have all these injuries. But I'm glad that we just stayed put, you know, didn't take on any contracts or give up any draft picks or any of our guys, you know, because I really like this team. I think we have good chemistry. We just need, we need guys to stay healthy, and for the guys who are already injured to get healthy. And then I think you're going to see the Bulls really start playing that good basketball again, like they did, you know, before everyone got hurt.
Yeah, I think it was very smart for Chicago to remain where they were. At full health, they are a great team, as we've seen. And you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So definitely good for them to take a back seat. And overall, I think there were, you know, aside from the Harden-Simmons trade, there were a lot of interesting trades. And I think that's the beauty of the deadline, whether it's football, basketball, baseball. You know, following the reports, seeing these guys end up in different jerseys, it's one of the best aspects of sports. And it doesn't even have to do with the actual game itself. So always fun to follow it. And like I said, March 10th, which has now been clarified, that's when the Sixers and the Nets will meet. So that'll be a great game to watch. And it'll be interesting to see how these other guys make out in their new locations. But we got to move on now to the gridiron. This Sunday, Los Angeles, Super Bowl 56. The Rams have home field advantage against the Bengals. It's Stafford, it's Burrow. It's a nice change of pace not seeing Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes in it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We kind of dove into it a little bit last week about these two teams, who's feeling the heat more. But now we're getting down to the final wire. I mean, Sunday comes and here we go. It's game time. So one of my favorite things to do with the Super Bowl is you know, just make a couple of predictions. So the first thing I want to go do is go around the horn, and we will be hearing from the many man of hats on this one. Score prediction. Tell me what you think the final score is going to be and who's going to win it. And I'm going to start off. And this post, actually, I saw this post of the prediction. I guess it was predicted on a Simpsons episode. They predicted the Bengals to beat the Chargers, I think. Well, it's not the Chargers, but it's still an LA team. And I think the final score was 34-31. So that's the final score that I'm going to go with. Just because the Bengals have been winning these crazy three-point games in the playoffs. So I'm giving it 34-31 Cincy. Sorry, Stafford, but I think Joe Scheisty is just different this year. So next up, Stevie B is going to lay down his prediction.
Also, that is so funny you said that, because I was thinking the same exact thing.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, my brother was telling me about that stat the other day, because he was looking at all these like bets and stuff like that, and he saw that on social media or whatever. But to switch things up, I'll do a little differently. So I'll go Bengals 33, Rams 30.
Still 3 points, still have the Bengals winning, but it's different. So I respect it.
Yeah, so that's my final. Joe Burrow, you're going to hoist up that trophy. You know, I love Stafford. I respect Stafford, and I do like Stafford. You know, he didn't do me any wrong while, you know, he was on the Lions, because they didn't win anything. But I have a lot of respect for him, so I feel bad. But Joe Scheisty, Joe Burrow, Joey B, all those nicknames. He's going to get another nickname, and that's Super Bowl champ. That's my prediction.
Very nice. And now we will turn it to the man of many hats himself, TJ. Let's hear your prediction, my friend.
Oh, I was waiting for this. Well, first and foremost, shout out my buddy Vince. Joe Scheisty is going to win this one. He and I have been cackling ever since Joe Scheisty came out as a nickname, and it's just stuck. So I'm going to go with Joe Scheisty and the Bengals winning 24-21.
Three for three for the Bengals winning by three. Now, Josh, knowing your track record, I have a funny feeling you're not only going to pick the Rams, but you're going to pick I'm going to say you're going to pick a 14-point deficit. Now, you've had your success lately with laying down some cash, so I'm curious to see your logic behind this. But I believe the man of many hats has a little more to chime in on.
If it's anything like his starts and sits, listeners at home, don't listen to him.
That's cold. Shots fired.
I need to bounce back now. I do have the Rams winning. And it's not by three. And it's not by 14 either. I have Rams winning 24-20. The reason why is you guys aren't giving the Rams defense enough credit. Yes, we saw what Burrow had to do, what Burrow dealt with again in the Tennessee game. He got sacked 9 times. But he didn't face Aaron Donald. He didn't face Von Miller or Jalen Ramsey in that game. I think it's going to get ugly really quickly. And you have Jalen Ramsey guarding Ja'Marr Chase. So that you could count as eliminating him from the equation, essentially. This is going to be a boring, low-scoring defensive game. 24-20, Rams, with Aaron Donald winning Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, so you bring me to my next question. Who do you think is going to be MVP? And you say Aaron Donald. And I like that a lot. One and a half sacks. Okay. I think that's very good. I like that a lot, actually. My prediction for MVP, I'm going to throw another defensive guy at you. Don't know how likely it is, but I believe it wouldn't be his first time. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going with Von Miller.
But you just didn't you say the Bengals are winning?
Yeah, but I could still predict another MVP, can't I?
I mean, the Super Bowl MVP is usually the winner of the Super Bowl.
Yes, that's true. However,
you're hedging yourself in case if one of them is wrong.
Yes, okay. That is correct. I like to spread it out a little bit. I mean, look, all right, you want me to give my Bengals MVP? Fine. My Bengals MVP is Eli Apple. There, are you happy? It's going to be Eli Apple. No. If the Bengals do win, I think their MVP is probably going to be Joe Burrow. I just don't see anyone on the defense really, really stepping it up. And maybe they give it to Ja'Marr Chase, but Joe Burrow's the guy that's feeding him the ball. So those are my two predictions. I'm covering my bases. TJ, I think you agree with me on the Eli Apple one, but I'm curious to see if you have another guy in mind.
Oh, yeah, I do. I just don't know what's better, the Giants fans hating him, the Saints fans hating him, or Bengals fans hating him. But like you, like I'm gonna play some devil's advocate here. If the Rams do win, I think either Aaron Donald or Jalen Ramsey is going to win that MVP. And that can go based on performance. I don't know how it's going to go. I'm going to go based on I'm going following my heart, and I'm going with the Bengals, even though deep down, I don't like that you just assumed from that I was not giving the Rams defense credit when I know damn well who's on that defensive line.
Predicting scores in the 30s doesn't sound too respectable. That's all.
Hey, a man can have dreams, and we should both know this because of our football teams.
Very true.
And if the Bengals end up winning, it's going to go to either Ja'Marr Chase or Joe Burrow. But what could be nice to see, depending on how coverage lines up, how effective T. Higgins is going to be against that defense. He could be a sleeper, depending on how everything goes. So those are my picks, and I'm sticking with them, covering all my bases here.
Very nice. And I want you to stick with that that T. Higgins comment for a little later. Stevie, MVP predictions. I kind of fumbled the bag a little bit and gave a Rams prediction, even though I have Cincinnati winning. So why don't you give us an MVP prediction for each team?
Well, who I really think will be MVP, since I picked the Bengals and I think he'll be the MVP, let me just put on my non-existent Cartier glasses. That's Joe Burrow. If the Bengals win, Joe Burrow's going to be the MVP, regardless if Jamar Chase goes for like 350 yards, because Joe Burrow is going to have that and more with his other receivers. So usually the quarterbacks get it. You know, usually it's like a defensive guy or the quarterback, which kind of sucks for the receivers and all that, but seems like usually that's how it goes. Because even when James White had that like 3-touchdown performance back in Super Bowl 51 or whatever it was when the Patriots came back, Brady, I'm pretty sure, still won the MVP. So, but then if I had to guess, one, like say the Rams won, I will have to say that one might be interesting. I don't think it'll be a defensive guy. That one, Cooper Kupp might break what I just said and might get it. You know, as much as Stafford, I would want to say Stafford. I think Cooper Kupp, with the season he's had, and you know, if he has another one of those 10 plus reception, 100 plus yards, and a couple touchdowns, I think he will definitely get it. So I say either Cooper Kupp or Joe Burrow. Well, since I'm picking the Bengals, Joe Burrow.
Both solid. I do the Cooper Kupp one. If the Rams win, it would be an amazing ending to an incredible season for him. So I like that one. I like Cooper Kupp. So I'm rooting for him to do well this game. The last prediction I want to go around the horn and ask you guys, and TJ kind of brought it up with his response to the last one. Who do you think's the sleeper? Doesn't matter. Let's only go with one player this time. Doesn't matter who we think's going to win. Who do we think is going to be a sleeper for either team? And I've kind of thought about this a little bit. And I don't know if he's considered a sleeper because he has been playing well, but he also hasn't played a lot. So my sleeper for the Super Bowl, I'm going to give it to Cam Akers. I think he is going to have an incredible offensive game. I think he's going to take a lot of pressure off Stafford, and I could see him getting a touchdown or two. So that's my sleeper. TJ, who are you thinking, my friend? Or do we need to get back to you? And if you say Eli Apple, I understand he's a big name, but I'm hoping you throw another name out there.
Oh yeah, and that, I'm sticking with it. What I said the last time with T. Higgins, I was just gonna do like some diving into his stats on the season. I just don't know them off the top of my head, but other than Jamar Chase, correct me if I'm wrong, but T. Higgins has been the other go-to.
And Tyler Boyd.
Yep, and Tyler Boyd and Uzomah when he's healthy, which I'm also excited to see him play in the Super Bowl if he plays, which is tracking. But T. Higgins, I'm sticking with it. That's my sleeper. I may come back with some stats before we end, but I'm sticking with it.
I'll give you time to put your stat hat on while we talk to these other two. Josh, keeping the ball rolling with predictions. You're pretty good at pinpointing these single guys. So who are you thinking for sleeper?
I have two names in mind, and I'm going to do a little curveball here. I'm going to go Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard, because
I like that a lot.
I can't really pinpoint one of them, just because one of them, I think, has to have a crazy game in order to give the Bengals a chance. Because if they could get into the backfield and cause havoc for Matthew Stafford, and slow down the running game, and slow down, like you said, Cam Akers, then it definitely gives the Bengals a shot. And the key to success for the Bengals is to not let the Rams be on offense and dictate the game, because their offense is just so explosive with Cooper Kupp and OBJ. So if you have guys like Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard to eliminate the passing game or minimize the passing game and cause havoc in the run game, then I do like their chances a little bit.
I like those predictions a lot. I think those are two major pieces for the Bengals defense, and I would be very happy to see either of them have a big game. Stevie, last but not least, who's your sleeper?
For me, I'm going to go with Eric Weddle.
Love that. I love that.
But seriously, though, because he has really played a big part in the Rams defense, especially in that secondary, who has been just destroyed with injuries. And, you know, this is like he got signed for the playoffs. So this is, he's playing what, two playoff games? And now he's going against an even more dangerous passing attack than he did with, to be honest, the Buccaneers, who were out Godwin and, you know, Antonio Brown and stuff like that. And then Jimmy G, you know, is a little inconsistent. And so he's got a real test now, and the Rams defense too. So, yes, you know, even if Ramsey locks up Jamar Chase, you still have to defend T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon out of the backfield. CJ, how do you pronounce his last name? CJ.
Zuma, I think.
Sorry to him, but for butchering his name. But, you know, I know he got hurt, but he seems like he's ready to play. So you can't, you know, you got to be ready to stop Joe Burrow. And I think really these guys are going to have a big test. But I think Eric Weddle, he's been playing well. So if he can continue playing well, you know, he might really make things hard for Joe Burrow. But if he doesn't play that good, then, you know, Joe Burrow might have a field day. So really, I think he's one of the key guys that no one's really talking about, because he's been playing so well for them. So I think he's a sleeper for who can really make an impact in this game.
Love that. And this is his, this, as far as we know, this is the last game of his career. I've seen stuff that after the Super Bowl, he's going back to the retired life. So great sleeper. We all have great sleepers, all great predictions. I think it's going to be a great game, great halftime show. I'm excited. Apparently, it's going to be the hottest Super Bowl on record. So we're going to have to see if that makes any impact. But before we wrap up the show, I want to touch on a subject that we don't really talk about too much, and that's hockey. Little news in hockey today. The Bruins goalie Rask has retired after 15 years defending the net. And the man of many hats, TJ, is a big Bruins fan. So TJ, I want to, you know, hear your thoughts on this, what this means for the future of the organization, what he's done, you know, for the organization. I'm not a big hockey guy. I mean, I do support the Rangers. So, you know, I guess this is a good thing. I don't really know. You're going to tell me, but I'm curious to see. I mean, 15 years is a very long time in any sport.
Yeah, so first and foremost, I don't think he'd ever listen, but Tuukka Rask, thank you for everything you brought to the Bruins. You're one of the reasons why I got into hockey. Anyway, 15 years has come to an end in Boston with their star goaltender, Tuukka Rask. He ranks top in almost every category in Bruins history. Wins, save percentage, goals against, playoff wins. He's got a Vezina. He won that in 2014. He's got a Stanley Cup ring from 2011. And to just kind of put it into perspective, like, Rask meant a lot to this team. He, like you had said, Castle, he defended the net for the last 15 years. And doing that, and especially being a goaltender in the NHL, takes a lot on your body. And his recent surgery he had at the end of last season, he couldn't fully recover from, and his body finally told him it was quits. But to kind of go into your other question there, like what the future looks like, A couple years back, they drafted a young goaltender out of the University of Maine by the name of Jeremy Swayman. And he blew everybody's expectations out of Maine. He joined the Providence Bruins. He went on a tear being their number two goaltender, I believe, under Dan Vladar, who soon got traded. But Swayman kind of worked his way up. He got some NHL time last year when Rask got injured. He went 9-3, I believe, in his starts last season. And then he got the full-time job this year. So I think we'll be okay goalie-wise, at least with Swayman. Our backup, Linus Ullmark, came from Buffalo. I personally didn't know how he was going to play because anybody coming from the Sabres, Fromm would know, Stevie would know. The Sabres aren't, you know, how should I say, hockey royalty. But he blew all my expectations away as a backup. He's developed his game really well. He's making more consistent saves. He's getting in front of the puck, seeing the puck better than he did in Buffalo, which is nice. And to kind of wrap it all up, again, a huge thank you to Tuukka Rask. And as Jack Edwards always said after every Tuukka Rask win, 2 U's, 2 K's, 2 points. And I'll see that number 40 in the rafters.
Amazing. Like I said, don't know much about him, the Bruins history, but it seems like he's made his fair share of contributions, winning the cup in, you said, 2011?
2011. It was famous because they beat the Canucks in the final, and Vancouver, dumpster fires, riots in the streets, cars turning over. Oh yeah, it was wild.
Amazing. And with that being said, a little teaser for next week. Now that this goalie has retired, I think a debate on the goalies, Rask versus Lundqvist, we're going to have that next week. We're going to have to, Mr. Bonazzo will be host, so he'll have to make note of this, but we're going to have to set some time next week for two fans of two big hockey teams, big rivalries, goalies that not only, you know, marked their time with their respective teams, but in the game of hockey as a whole. I definitely want to learn more about it. So next week, you know, for all you hockey heads, you're going to want to tune into next week's episode. The man of many hats is going to come out in a new form. So y'all better be ready.
But so it's noted. I already put in my notes. So
beautiful.
Make sure we won't forget it, you know?
Absolutely. Beautiful. And with that being said, we will be concluding this week's episode. As always, we want to give our special thank yous, Wild Chat Sports. They've been a great partner with us. They're always producing great content. They do a great mix of, you know, the entertainment world and the sports world, and they mix it up into two, and they find ways to incorporate it with their guests. So definitely go check out their content. Of course, we want to thank the man himself, TJ, the man of many hats, for continuing to run our social media. And definitely peep the 3-peat page for Super Bowl Sunday. Who knows? Maybe we drop some updates. Maybe we drop some polls. Who knows? It's Super Bowl Sunday. So definitely be on the lookout. And of course, we want to, as always, thank our sponsor, Liberty Shirt Co. They're dressing up some of the finest analysts in all the sports. So definitely go check out their website. You know, everyone needs a new shirt now and then. We know Stevie still does. So if you want to beat Stevie to getting a new shirt, go check out their website and order it soon. And with that being said, thank you, everyone, and enjoy Super Bowl Sunday.